The dictionary defines the word pain in an understated way, as dictionaries are wont to do. A basic bodily sensation induced by a noxious stimulus received by naked nerve endings, characterized by physical discomfort, and typically leading to evasive action. But anyone who's ever had a migraine headache or a serious injury or gone through childbirth doesn't need a dictionary to tell them what pain is. And though our pain thresholds may differ, we all pretty much agree on this. It hurts, and we want it to stop. But not everyone. Martyrs, penitents, self-flagellants have existed throughout history. The modern tendency is to dismiss them as religious fanatics, as sick and in need of help. But a new book argues that it's not that simple. Ariel Glucklich is an associate professor of theology at Georgetown University. His book is called Sacred Pain, Hurting the Body for the Sake of the Soul. He joins us in the studio. Welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Now, this is an odd kind of topic, but the reason you wrote this book is grounded in a very specific incident with a friend of yours. Tell us about that.
That's right. He's been suffering chronic pain for about 40 years. And we watched a show together in which these penitents and mystics were hurting themselves. And he said to me, he knew I was a religion scholar, he said, "Why would anybody do this? Pain is so bad. I just want to get rid of it. You'd have to be crazy to do this." So we got into the discussion why they would do it. And at the time, this is 1992, I didn't know why. So I set out to research why so many people around the world would do this.
The thing that you were watching on TV with your friend was a procession in the Philippines by people who were reenacting the passion of Christ on the cross and beating themselves.
That's right. And that includes the crucifixion. There were volunteers who actually were nailed to a cross, very much in the way that Jesus was, and then raised up above the crowd. And they were bleeding from their hands, and the whole thing was quite a spectacle. They seemed oblivious to the pain. To me, that was interesting in and of itself. It has to hurt. If somebody forced you onto a cross, I mean, we read the gospel, it sounds painful. They didn't seem to be in pain. So that, too, interested me. I don't think that people would inflict pain on themselves if the pain was so horrible to their experience. So I figured that possibly they transform the pain. They transform the violence on their body to some kind of a sensation or experience that to them is actually positive. I'm not saying that it's pleasure, but it's something other than bad pain. That's what interested me.
Well, when you went back to do your research to look at this throughout history, you discovered, you claim, your thesis in the book is that pain has actually served humanity in constructive ways throughout history, at least until our modern age when we now know about medicine and the physiology of pain. What constructive ways has pain served?
In the religious life, for example, pain has been used to connect with God. It's a bond, really, either to God or to community.
Was it not possible that people could get this bond that you speak of in any other way?
Absolutely. There have been mystics and religious individuals who have searched for God through rituals and prayer and devotion, very ordinary, commonplace ways. But those who wanted a very powerful, intense experience of the divine or of a sense of belonging to some religious community have chosen pain for the reason that pain has the effect of dissolving their sense of individuality. That's how it works. And by dissolving the sense of self, individual, isolated self, you become Christ-like or Shiva-like. The most common form of self-inflicted pain in the religious world today is pilgrimage. It's an experience in which pilgrims go from one place to another, but the passage involves discomfort, taking off your shoes on hot terrain, sometimes lying flat down on the ground every so many steps, walking around exceptionally painful kinds of rocky surfaces and so forth and so on.
Well, but this is, it's very interesting because it brings up something else that you discovered in your study, which is that people in different circumstances perceive pain differently. I'm not just talking about their tolerance for pain. I'm talking about what the circumstance is in which they receive the same pain, what their emotions are, what their beliefs are. So you discovered that people can physiologically experience the same thing but have a different reaction to it.
Yes, absolutely. Take, for example, somebody who maybe a young adult woman who's been abused and she now slashes her thighs. And through the sensation she experiences herself as not so much as a victim, but identifies with the victimizer, she feels empowered. On the other hand, if you take any young woman off the street and start slashing her with the same instrument, she would experience not empowerment, but some awful burning pain. So yes, it depends on what is going on. It's important that it's voluntary. It's extremely important that the self-inflicted pain is chosen. Then it's modulated to some extent because you are inflicting the pain on yourself. And then you also have a goal towards which you are inflicting the pain. And as you modulate the pain, that goal becomes real and reachable. Now, if the pain is involuntary, you're tied, you have no goal, you value your health, your body, your happiness, and somebody else is doing this to you, it's going to hurt like heck.
Well, this is what makes it so hard for modern readers to understand, to have the same question your friend has, which is why would someone seek to induce pain or experience pain?
Yeah.
And it is very hard to understand.
It is. What I'm trying to tell, ultimately, my friend, is that pain has very strong cultural components or mental components. Pain is not just in the body. What you believe and what you want and so forth determines how you feel your pain. So that if you have a patient who suffers chronic pain for 10, 20, 30 years, there's the physical chronic pain, and medicine maybe will help eventually, it still has not. But there's also the suffering associated with the pain. And the suffering is linked to cultural beliefs or psychological assumptions and so forth. And that's where there's freedom. You see, for instance, mystics who have hurt themselves, and then suddenly they fall ill. And the pain of their illness they didn't choose. And they suffer horribly in that illness, medieval mystics or whatever. And then they have a problem. How do they transform the unwanted pain into something that is meaningful and that resembles the chosen pain that they've chosen? That's the sort of thing that I'm trying to communicate to my friend and to chronic pain patients, that there are certain elements in pain that involve your goals and your beliefs and your assumptions. And those goals and beliefs and assumptions can modify the way you experience your pain.
Ariel Gluckluck is an associate professor of theology at Georgetown University. His new book is called Sacred Pain: Hurting the Body for the Sake of the Soul. Thank you, Professor Gluckluck.
Thank you for having me.